Good morning, everyone. Happy, happy Sunday. And welcome to our weekly gathering. And yeah, Ron, it was a little funny coming into the room and hearing you read my words about my experience with the gophers. We no longer have gophers here. Part of that might be because we have zero-scaped the backyard. So there's nothing back there to interest them anymore. but we also haven't seen them in the front yard this year. So I don't know. We haven't seen any gophers. But yeah, welcome everyone. I'm very happy to be here with you for today's gathering. Let's see. Is Stephen in the house? I see Nancy. Stephen is going to be my reader today. Stephen from Seattle. Stephen Mead. Ron does not have a copy of NTI. Is that true? Well, we'll need to get him a copy of... Oh, he does have one, he says. He has one. Okay, good. I was going to say, how has he been leading NTI study groups all this time without a copy of NTI? well, we're going to start this morning with our wonderful opportunity to greet each other in the room. I encourage you when you're greeting to... You know, just almost pretend like you're in person with people and you're walking up to someone and shaking their hand or giving them a hug, and go ahead and ask people what's up with them and share what's up with you. And I'm going to play a song that I traditionally play during this time. It's called We Are Awakening by Diva, Premil, and Mitten. So here we go. Let's say hi to each other.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
part. Are you ready? Sing together, he says. But with that, I will turn it down because it is time for us to move on. But again, welcome everyone. Nancy, I saw that you said Stephen does not appear to be in the room yet. If he is not in the room, I can read. Unless, of course, Nancy, you happen to have a copy, you are invited to read. So let me know if you have a copy of today's reading handy. So one of us could be his substitute if he does not make it. No, you don't have it? Okay, so if he doesn't make it, then I will do the reading as well. All right. Well, now it is time for our statement of purpose. And I thought today I would just literally read Awakening Together's statement of purpose and one or two of our core values. So first, our purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And, you know, the purpose really, really, says a lot to me. One thing that stands out for me in the purpose is, again, that we are an assembly of equals. No one is above or below another. We are the same. Another thing that stands out for me is that we are joined in common purpose. My mom asked me on the phone last night if this church that we are is a Unitarian Universalist. And I suppose that's the best way that she could come to understand it. And other people have equated us to Unitarian Universalists. This is not the first time I've heard that. But I told her that one difference between Awakening Together and Unitarian Universalist is that Unitarian Universalist members do not need to share any purpose at all. You know, one member could be, you know, studying Hinduism and believing in many, many gods and worshiping those gods. Another member could still believe that, you know, Jesus Christ is our Savior and you must be saved by Jesus. Another member could be completely humanitarian and believe that we are born and then we die, but while we're here, we should be as good as we can be. They don't need to share a purpose. They just need to be accepting of one another. In Awakening Together, we do share a purpose. And that is awakening to one true self. So we are bound by a purpose, even though we may seem to be on different spiritual paths. Someone recently said to me that they did not resonate with Awakening Together because they felt that Awakening Together was just the spiritual buffet line, where people pick what they want and leave what they don't want. And that really what that does is that just entertains the ego spiritually. But I think this person misunderstood what Awakening Together is all about. Awakening Together is not the spiritual buffet line where we take what we want and leave what we don't want and build up our spiritual ego. Awakening Together is understanding that throughout history, in all religions, there have been those most often called mystics who have gone within, who have transcended their culture and religion and realized one truth. And then when they come back from that realization and they speak about that one truth, they speak about that truth using the symbols of their culture. And so therefore, within every path of religion, within every culture, within many, many symbols, there is a speaking about one truth. And so what we are learning to do is discern one truth, even though the words and the symbols may vary. This is not the same as the spiritual buffet line. Again, our purpose is we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Let me share one of our core values. I'm going to share core value number two today. We realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. What this says to me is that I may have my own place where I am right now in spiritual realization and spiritual awakening. There may be specific materials and teachings that are speaking to me right now. But it is a mistake to believe that everyone should be exactly where I am in the awakening process right now. It is a mistake to believe that everyone should be attracted to the same materials and teachings that I'm attracted to. It is a mistake to believe that everyone should be realizing the exact same thing that I'm realizing right now. It is, however, a great honor and service we provide to one another to let each one be right where he or she is following their guidance in this moment. Sometimes it may be a place where we have been before, and so we can understand where they are at, and we can allow them to be there and to grow or awaken beyond that point just as we did. Sometimes it may be ahead of us, and we may not quite be able to understand where they are at because we haven't had those realizations yet, but we can listen with a sense of curiosity and a sense of openness, knowing that one day that realization will also come to us. So we can trust and listen and respect one another always without having to be in the same place at the same time. So that's my sharing today regarding our purpose. Let me just take a little sip of water and then I'll get into today's announcements. And I hear Stephen is here now. That's good. So Stephen will be our reader today. Welcome, Stephen. I hear you're on the farm. Welcome from the farm. All right. So as for an announcement that I would like to make today, some of you may be aware that if you are a member of Awakening Together, we have some member benefits. And the member benefits were specifically selected in order to not leave anyone out of anything that is truly helpful. So, for example, even if you are a non-member, you know, you can obviously teach here, speak here in ACIM Gather. You can obviously attend, you know, everything that happens here in ACIM Gather. You have access to all of our archived recordings on Awakening Together and also on reginadonacres.com. You know, there's nothing that you're left out of that might be helpful to you. But we do have some benefits for members. One of those benefits is that members can volunteer to be an admin in this room. And in fact, you're encouraged to do so because we need admins in order to keep the room open beyond January 1st. And if you are feeling called to volunteer to be an admin, just contact Lynn Johnson, or you can contact us through the contact form on the Awakening Together website underneath About Us. Another member benefit is on the Awakening Together website, we have a blog called Awakening Together Blog. And the purpose of this blog is to post articles or writings from masters and from our members. The masters, of course, are consistently expressing clarity. The members are exploring their clarity. You know, as I mentioned a moment ago, members may be in different places at different times. Not all members may be at the top of the mountain along with the masters. Members may be at different places along that path. But all members are exploring their own clarity, realizing their own clarity, listening to their own spiritual intuition. And regardless of where you seem to be on that spiritual path, you are invited to write about it and to submit that writing to me in order to be posted on our Awakening Together blog. Recently, I turned down some submissions. And I realized that one thing I need to do is create some criteria for our submissions. I realized that some of the submissions that were coming to me included what I would call jargon that is specific to a spiritual path. And primarily because we're kind of a grassroots movement that is growing out of the Course in Miracles community, primarily the jargon I've seen so far has been Course in Miracles jargon. And what I mean by jargon is, if somebody would come across our website and start reading an article but has never read A Course in Miracles, they might not understand the language because the language is very specific to the Course in Miracles culture. And I realize that anything that we post on our website, although you're talking about your own experience, where you are now, and you're talking about your own realizations as they're coming to you now, and maybe not everyone will understand that specifically because you may be realizing things they have not yet realized, and so they have no framework for understanding. At the same time, the language that you are using in order to express yourself should be a common language. I remember the first time I picked up Ramana Maharshi and started trying to read it, I couldn't understand it at all because there were so many words from that Hindu culture. The jargon was too thick. Fortunately, Ramana began to come to me within and speak to me in my language, the teachings of Inner Ramana, and that I could understand. So it wasn't that I wasn't able to understand the teaching. It wasn't that I wasn't ready to understand the teaching. It's that the words themselves were an obstacle because the words were not words from my vocabulary. So one thing I'm going to ask, and in fact I will create a set of criteria and I will publish them, but one thing I will ask is when you submit your articles that you think about your language. Is your language A Course in Miracles specific jargon? Are you referring to people, for example, as the Son of God? And will everybody know that when you say the Son of God, you're referring to everyone instead of just one man named Jesus, who is typically called the Son of God? Also, I came across something yesterday. I got this new book that I actually ordered by mistake. I was shocked to even find out that I had ordered it. I meant to click on another book and order it. And instead, I ordered this one. I decided that this must be perfect for me then if it's the book that I accidentally ordered. It's called The Awareness of Self-Discovery by William Samuel. And I just received this book. And so I was reading chapter one yesterday morning. And as I was reading chapter one yesterday morning, I came across this. William Samuel says, in the most human terms, whenever the light has revealed itself, that light also brings with it its own means of being communicated and revealed to others. I'll read that one more time. In the most human terms, whenever the light has revealed itself, the light also brings with it its own means of being communicated and revealed to others. I have noticed that whenever I write with what we would call spirit, there's a language that is coming forth through me that I did not learn anywhere. It's not a language that I learned from A Course in Miracles. It's not a language I learned from studying the teachings of Ramana Maharshi or Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj or anyone else. It's almost like a unique language that's coming through me. And sometimes I find that some people use one of those words and another person may use another one of those words, and another one of those words may show up here. But the entire embodiment of that language as it comes through me is unique. And that is what William Samuel is saying. He is saying that whenever we have true realization, whenever we contemplate something deep enough within us that we really come to see for ourselves, the way that is then expressed is unique for each one. I know that we are all familiar with that term parroting, you know, where it looks like someone has read a certain teacher enough that they can turn around and sound just like that teacher. But what William Samuel is saying is if we've really taken something in deep enough, we're not going to sound just like anyone else. You could say our own expression of the light is almost as individual as our fingerprint. It will come out in its own way. And so what I would suggest and recommend is that when you submit articles for the Awakening blog, which I hope you will, because I really would love to have lots and lots of articles from our members, that you wait until you have contemplated something long enough, or wait until you have realized something within in a way that the expression of it comes back up through you in a unique way. It is not the parroting of A Course in Miracles. It is not the parroting of any Advaita teachers. It is that unique form of expression that comes through you. And in fact, ego will possibly attack that unique form of expression because it doesn't sound like anyone else. Ego may tell you, you know, that it's not good enough or that it's not right because it's very unique. But I recommend that you allow that uniqueness to come through you. And when something unique has come through, although it's the same teaching, because there isn't actually a unique teaching, there's only a unique expression. So although it's the same teaching as A Course in Miracles, the same teaching as NTI, the same teaching as Joel Goldsmith, the same teaching as Ramana Maharshi, etc., 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 this is now the unique expression that comes through you. Submit that to me as an article. This is what I want to see. I want to see your soul, your clarity. And again, I will write some criteria around that to be helpful to people so that they can reference it. But I would really, really love to receive your articles. You do not have to be at the awakened state. You can be anywhere on the path exploring your own clarity. But as you have clarity, as you have realizations, even if you're just starting to realize what forgiveness is, truly, please send that to me in the written form that it comes through you. So that is my announcement for today. Now what I'm going to do is play our opening song. Our opening song today is also from Diva, Primel, and Mitten. It's called Whispering Heart. It actually fits quite well with the announcement I just made. In this song, Mitten is talking about when he first started to hear the call or first started to realize inner awakening or even want inner awakening. It came as a whispering heart in the night. So this is Diva, Primel, and Mitten, Whispering Heart.
Since I saw you watching on the hill, I heard that whispering heart. Must have heard it many lives ago. I'm hearing it still. Whispering heart.
Today, instead of prayer, why don't we just take a moment of silence? Amen. All right, Stephen, I'm going to turn the mic over to you for the reading. Stephen is going to be reading from the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, which was a gift to me recently from Lisa Hansen. And I'm enjoying it very much, Lisa, if you hear this. Thank you. Stephen, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina, and good morning to everybody. So this is the reading today. It's a conversation between the master and a man identified as M. And so here we go. Master talking to M. Well, do you believe in God with form or without form? M, rather surprised, said to himself, how can one believe in God without form when one believes in God with form? And if one believes in God without form, how can one believe that God has a form? Can these two contradictory ideas be true at the same time? Can a white liquid like milk be black? M speaks, sir, I like to think of God as formless. The master replies, very good. It is enough to have faith in either aspect. You believe in God without form, that is quite all right. But never for a moment think that this alone is true and all else is false. Remember that God with form is just as true as God without form. But hold fast to your own conviction. The assertion that both are equally true amazed M. He had never learnt this from his books. Thus his ego received a third blow, but since it was not yet completely crushed, he came forward to argue with the master a little more. M says, sir, suppose one believes in God with form. Certainly he is not the clay image. The master, interrupting, says, but why clay? It is an image of spirit. M could not quite understand the meaning of this image of spirit. But sir, he said to the master, one should explain to those who worship the clay image that it is not God, and that, while worshiping it, they should have God in view and not the clay image. One should not worship clay. The master says sharply, that's the one hobby of you Calcutta people, giving lectures and bringing others to the light. Nobody ever stops to consider how to get the light himself. Who are you to teach others? He who is the Lord of the universe will teach everyone. He alone will teach us, who has created the universe, who has made the sun and moon, men and beasts, and all other beings, who has provided means for their sustenance, who has given children parents and endowed them with love to bring them up. The Lord has done so many things. Will he not show people the way to worship him? If they need teaching, then he will be the teacher. He is our inner guide. Suppose there is an error in worshiping the clay image. Doesn't God know that through it? Doesn't God know that through it, he alone is being invoked? He will be pleased with that very worship. Why should you get a headache over it? You'd better try for knowledge and devotion yourself. This time, M felt that his ego was completely crushed. He now said to himself, "Yes, he has spoken the truth. What need is there for me to teach others? Have I known God? Do I really love him? How true the proverb is, I haven't room enough for myself in my bed, and I'm inviting a friend to share it with me. I know nothing about God, yet I am trying to teach others. What a shame. How foolish I am. This is not mathematics or history or literature that one can teach it to others. No, this is the deep mystery of God. What he says appeals to me." This was M's first argument with the master and happily his last. The master speaks, "You were talking of worshiping the clay image. Even if the image is made of clay, there is need for that kind of worship. God himself has provided different forms of worship. He, who is the Lord of the universe, has arranged all these forms to suit different men in different stages of knowledge. The mother cooks different dishes to suit the stomachs of her different children. Suppose she has 5 children. If there is a fish to cook, she prepares various dishes from it. Pulu, pickled fish, fried fish, and so on, to suit their different tastes and powers of digestion. Do you understand me?" And that's the reading.
Thank you very much, Stephen. I loved that very much when I came across it in this book, The Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, because this is a mistake that we have all made and could possibly still be making ourselves. This mistake that what I learn spiritually and what I resonate with spiritually is true. And maybe there are some other forms of spirituality that are similar, and they are okay too. But then there are these other forms of spirituality that are very different, and they are wrong. You know, some of us sitting in this room, because we're from a Christian tradition and we have various experiences with Christianity, we may feel that there are Christian teachings that are just wrong. And I know that I've heard many people talk about their problems with the Bible. Even sometimes when people first come to the Course, they have problems with Jesus. Some people even refuse to call him Jesus because it brings up these feelings that aren't comfortable. And I think that sometimes what we forget to realize is what may be one of the Course's 2 primary teachings, and that is that we are here to accept the atonement for ourself. Or as Sri Ramakrishna said, we are here to realize God for ourself, to find our own devotion. We are not here to teach others. You know, it's funny because I certainly, at an earlier time in my life, would have thought to worship a clay image as if it was God was just not only wrong, but stupid. I mean, how could one think that God is in a clay image that was made in a factory somewhere? However, you know, Ramakrishna makes a wonderful point that may not have been understood by M. And that wonderful point is, everything is God. And those of you who know me, you know that I've had my own realizations of this in my own way. I had my experience as an apple, where I saw and knew as an apple. I had my experience of receiving absolute divine love from a towel rack and from a floor. So everything is God. So what does it matter how I worship if that worship is taking me into the heart? Is it possible that I could be worshiping a statue of the Virgin Mary, and then somehow in my heart hear the Virgin Mary speaking to me, and to have that Virgin saying to me something that is great wisdom, that is perfect for me in this moment? And is that great wisdom that is coming from this apparent statue of an apparent Virgin Mary any less wisdom than wisdom that I may realize while contemplating a line in A Course in Miracles, or when contemplating a teaching of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, or just sitting in meditation with no image at all and realizing clarity? Does it matter how clarity comes? That is my question. I remember when this idea of wrong spiritual paths began to be undone for me. I was living in North Carolina at the time, which you all know is the Bible Belt, and very largely Baptist. Methodist would probably be second. Even Catholic and Jewish are very little. You know, to be a Catholic is almost unheard of. People are Baptist and Methodist there. And I did have a strong judgment against the teaching of Baptist. I remember one night we went to a benefit dinner, which was raising money to support some AIDS project in Africa. And you know, one of the neighbors invited me, and I was happy to go. And, you know, we went and we had the dinner and, you know, paid the money for the benefit and all of that. But then at the very end of the benefit, the preacher got up front and told us that on the way home we could be in a car accident and we could be killed. And if we had not yet accepted Christ as our Savior, we would go to hell. And why not now, right here at this benefit, come up and accept Jesus as our personal Savior? And I had strong judgments. My feeling as I left was that it had been a wonderful community event and that it had been ruined by the preacher. What I was missing was my own judgment. Do you see? I was not seeing my own judgment. I was not seeing my own judgment, which means I was not practicing my own path in that moment. Somewhere along the way, I must have come to see this, and I must have began to practice letting go of judgment. And again, I had lots of opportunities because I was in a community where nearly everyone thought the way that preacher thought. And so, you know, you would often hear people just making comments, you know, about Jesus or about their church home or about, you know, all pray about it in a way that had a very Baptist tone, but it was common language there. And I would feel that little stab in my heart about, you know, they're on the wrong path, I'm on the right path. But I learned to just look at that little stab, not do anything with it, which is really, really wrong. Certainly not judging myself for judging, but just turning my attention to the little stab with some kind of an awareness that this stab was not peace. This stab was not godlike. And I wouldn't even put those words to it. These are words I'm adding now. It wasn't that there were thoughts in the looking. There was just the looking, a non-judgmental looking. And eventually, what happened was that the stab died. The judgment died. And when the judgment died, something new was born in its place. What was born in its place was the ability to see how every spiritual path is helpful. I began to notice Baptists talking about surrender. And I began to notice that as they talked about surrender, the realizations that were coming to them were the same as the realizations that come to me. Certainly, there were still some differences. You know, some of them still believed in hell and still believed that, you know, Jesus needed to be your personal Savior. But they were also beginning to realize a oneness, although they wouldn't have used that word, within humanity. They were begin to notice putting aside their will and their ideas and follow that internal guidance system that we have, that they might call Jesus or the Holy Spirit, just as some of you may. I began to notice the commonalities that were helpful rather than focus on the differences. Now, one thing that's particularly interesting about awakening together is, although, again, the majority of us come out of one community, which would be called the Course community, we are inviting everyone who shares a purpose to join with us. And we don't know where this is going to go. We don't know 5 years from now how many different backgrounds people may come from. And we don't know what beliefs they may bring with them. And we don't know how those beliefs may conflict with our beliefs. But what I say is this is an opportunity for us. You know, it is so easy when you are in a homogeneous group where everyone speaks the same language and studies the same book or the same couple of books. It is so easy to become what is called fundamentalist. It is so easy to share judgments that we don't even notice our judgments as judgments because they are shared. And that is one mold that we are inviting to be broken through awakening together. We are really saying we don't want to be course students, right? We don't want to be this homogenous group that believes a particular book, is attached to a particular book, and sees people on very different paths as being completely wrong. We're right, they're wrong. Because we realize this is an error. You know, our purpose, I'm going to go back to the Awakening Together purpose. I think the reason so many of you joined Awakening Together so incredibly quickly is because the purpose of Awakening Together is the purpose in your heart. And listen to our purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. Awakening to one true self. Notice that does not say we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose attached to one book that we love the best. Or we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose attached to these three or four books that we think are the best. It does not say that. It says we're joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. And if someone is a Baptist, and if someone still has a belief that Jesus needs to be a personal savior, and someone even still has a belief in a judgmental God that will send you to hell if Jesus is not your savior, but at the same time, that person is beginning to learn surrender, is beginning to learn the practice of letting go of other thoughts and beliefs they hold that are obviously an obstacle to love, is that not in some way the same thing? And is there any reason why we can't welcome and encourage that? Right? A universal theology is impossible, but a universal experience is necessary. That comes from A Course in Miracles. So what I would encourage all of us as we go through this experience of awakening together, whatever this is going to be, one thing I'm pretty sure is going to happen is we are going to come into more contact with people making spiritual statements that for us, there's going to be a little stab. There's going to be a little judgment. There's going to be a temptation for I'm right and you're wrong, a temptation for comparison and attack. But what if we take the guidance that Stephen just read of Sri Ramakrishna? What if every time we feel the stab, what if every time we feel the thought, I'm right, you're wrong, my path is better, your path is less? What if instead of going with that ego attack, what if instead we step back and realize, I'm judging? I'm judging. Is judgment ever helpful to my purpose of awakening to one true self? The answer is clearly no, because what judgment does every time is it separates. It separates me from the one worshiping the clay image. It separates me from the one that is a Baptist. It separates me from the one who says there is no God. It separates me from the one who says God is everything. It separates me from the one who says God knows nothing of this world. You see, even within the Course community, we can feel that separation because some within the Course community will say God is everything. And you can even use the Course to find where the Course says that. And some will also say, God knows nothing of this world. This world is an attack on God, and you can even use the Course to find evidence for that position. What if any position is merely a means of holding on to ego? What if we use awakening together to notice every time the thought arises, I'm right, you're wrong? And instead of jumping into the battlefield, we choose to step back and let go of the judgment. We choose to step back and let go of the I know. As you may know, I've been to Israel a few times with friends, and twice we went to this place called Mount Carmel, which is a very popular place in the Jewish faith, and it's also very popular in the Christian faith. It's the place where a prophet named Elijah fought the prophets of Baal, B-A-A-L. Now, of course, Elijah was on the good team. He was on the side of the formless one God, commonly known as Jehovah, if a name is known at all, or Yahweh. He was on the good team. The prophets of Baal, they were on the wrong team. They worshipped a clay image. And so Elijah, wanting to prove that he was right and the 400 prophets of Baal were wrong, he challenged them to a contest on Mount Carmel. And let me just read a little bit to you from the Bible. I'm reading from 1 Kings chapter 18, starting at verse, where's a good place to start? I'll start at verse 22. Elijah said to the people, I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord, which of course is the right team. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. They were, of course, the wrong team. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you, the prophets of Baal, can call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, lighting the fire underneath the bulls, he is God. So all the people said, it is spoken. And then, of course, what happened was Elijah let the prophets of Baal go first. They cut up a bull. They put it on an altar, but they put no fire under it. And then they begin to pray to their God. It continues in verse 26. O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. They continued to cry aloud, for they believed he was the God. But Elijah mocked them. Elijah made fun of them. He said, cry aloud. He said, for he, is he a God? Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awaking. And they continued to cry, and Elijah continued to make fun of them, and nothing happened. And after some time, Elijah then showing off, because he was on the right team, not only had an unlit pile of wood under his bull, but he wet it down. He wet it so that there was water everywhere, water all around it, and then he called to Jehovah, who, of course, immediately lit the fire, consumed the bull and the altar, and then Elijah, following the guidance of his Lord, went about killing the 400 prophets of Baal. They were all slaughtered there on Mount Carmel. I love this story. And one reason I love this story is because it reminds me of what's really going on when I judge someone else's spiritual path or someone else's spiritual position. I am believing I am right, I am believing they are wrong, and I am attacking them, and I am killing myself. I am killing my own inner sense of love, my own inner sense of oneness, my own inner sense of God, by judging another. So the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal is a reminder to me to be humble, to go within, to find truth within myself, and to let each of my brothers be led in their way, without thinking their way is right or their way is wrong. As Sri Ramakrishna said, God is the inner teacher. God has created many, many ways to wake up to him or wake up to truth. Who are we to get in the way of God leading our brother from within? So now it is time for our shared meditation or contemplation time. I am going to play a song from a CD called The River by Michael DeMaria, I think, if I'm saying the name correctly. I've forgotten who my admin is today. Who is my admin? I should have looked in advance. Someone is going to give us a link in a moment. Okay, Melinda is my admin. Thank you, Melinda. She will give us a link, which is really a donation link. It's kind of like passing the plate in church. And it is true, it does take money to have Awakening Together. So if you feel guided, please click on the link and donate. But of course, never do anything out of guilt. That's not helpful at all. And I'm going to play this song so we can have open meditation and contemplation for about 6 minutes.
Thank you.
All right. So now it is time for our open sharing. Of course, I request that the sharing be related to the teaching or your contemplation and meditation now. It should not take us off into a different direction. We have about 12 minutes for open sharing. I will hold on to the mic until someone puts up their hand, and then I will share the mic so that I can hear what you have to say. All right, Dove, the mic is yours.
All right, thank you so much, Regina. As you were sharing, what came up for me is something that I have asked all guest teachers in this room to do, is to not really read from a book, as if you're reading something, that you're teaching somebody something, because actually the only one that is actually here to receive anything is the one who is giving it. So you're not giving anything to anyone. That doesn't say you can't read a paragraph from a book and then go into your heart and then see what it is that it speaks to you. Rather than just reading a book thinking that there's something in this book that's going to give you something and give others something, actually that is not true, and that's not true at all. I mean, if you look at the Course in Miracles, he says, forget this course. So the purpose of trusting in the one voice, the voice for God, the voice for love, which is the equalizer, when it says we are all equal, we all have equal access to the same source. There's only one voice, the voice for love. It's our willingness to really step back and allow that voice to speak to us and through us, whether you're doing it in journaling or writing a blog or you just hear on a microphone. It's all the same. Whether you're writing or speaking to me, it's all the same. So if you're really here to develop trust, to remember the truth of what you are, it is in your heart already. You won't find it in the book. As the voice said to me, you're not a symbol or a word or a concept that you find in books. Why do you think you're going to find yourself in a book? That's not who you are. And that's true, of course, for all books. So if you do come here and teach, I ask all to look into your heart, really. Is that something you want to continue doing, just reading, you know, thinking that you're giving somebody something that they don't have? To recommend a book is one thing. Many people say, hey, this is something that I received, and if you take a look at this book, you know, you might find something there for you, too. But to just read, you know, for a whole hour from a book, that's not the purpose that you're really here for, in truth. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dove. So I take the mic from the hand of one David and I pass it to another. David, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. I really like this contemplation. I got to see something. And what I got to see a little while back, I had noticed that the love that I felt like I was living for was actually of the ego. And I started to realize that all of the positive embraces that I've been trying to strive for actually had guilt behind them or had ego behind them in some way. And so with that knowledge, whenever I went into contemplation on the clay god, and of the fearful God, I had started to see that I did a lot of time, and what was best for me was to worship a very loving God. And so whenever I was thinking about somebody who might worship a fearful God, my thought was, well, they're wrong. And so in this contemplation, I actually got to realize that that's not true. This I came to realize, after using my symbol long enough, that my symbol of a loving God was actually still confusion. But even though it was confusion, it was just a symbol, it is still very useful. And so if somebody's path is to worship not a loving God, but a fearful God, that could be very useful. In A Course in Miracles, it loves a forgiving God, a God that doesn't know about the illusory world. That's useful. A clay god, that could be useful. I'll pass the mic.
Thank you very, very much, David. Julie, I am going to pass the mic to you now.
Thank you, Regina. Good morning, everyone. I love this discussion this morning. I really do. Very, very important topic. And it's been especially relevant to me lately because I have been a course student for a very long time and then recently went into studying Way of Mastery, which I've been teaching here in the room on Sundays, 1 o'clock Eastern time. But many years ago, I read a book called Silence of the Heart, which was a collection of satsangs that were given by Robert Adams, who was a devotee of Ramana Maharshi. I've always been drawn to the Eastern mystics and sages, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta, so forth. And so this book recently came to my awareness again, this Silence of the Heart by Robert Adams, which is in line with, of course, Advaita Vedanta. And I started reading it. And when I read it years ago, of course, I loved it. And there were parts that I highlighted, et cetera, et cetera. But this time I started reading it again about a month ago, and it has just blown me away. I mean, it has opened my heart. It's just been incredible. And I have to laugh because years ago when I highlighted all those different parts, I was like, what did I think I was understanding back then? But in any case, this is such a fantastic book, and it's so speaking to my heart. And one of the things that's really hitting me is that it's the exact same message of A Course in Miracles. And that may seem, you know, some of you who study Vedanta, Hindu Vedanta, or are aware of it, that may not seem like it could be possible, but what I'm understanding is the whole process of self-inquiry is teaching us to make that choice. Like Jesus asks us in A Course in Miracles, choose again who you think you are. And that's what self-inquiry is teaching, is ask who you think you are and make that distinction between your real self and the false self. And it's come to me, it's hit me very clearly that we all know this intellectually, but it's really hit me through experience that all these paths are the same, and they're all very one-pointed and taking us to the same place. I mean, our will, which is the will of God, has only one desire, and that is to awaken, and so all paths are going to lead us to the same place. And any voice in your head that says one is wrong or just too different or it's too scary or whatever, just know that that is the voice of the ego, which always wants to compare and judge. So everything is the same and everything is leading us home. I just want you to also know that I've been so inspired by this book, this Silence of the Heart. I've been so moved by it that I've actually decided to start teaching from this book on Sundays at 1 o'clock Eastern time rather than Way of Mastery. And that says nothing about Way of Mastery at all. I love that book. Many people are called to that path. It's a fantastic path. Wonderful lessons, wonderful teachings. I have nothing against it whatsoever. But my heart is really into Advaita Vedanta right now and this book, Silence of the Heart. And so I feel like just to honor that, this is what I need to teach from. And so I will be starting that today at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Thank you all so much. Thank you for the time. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you very much for following your heart. That is what we are all guided to do, asked to do, is to follow our heart. Also, on September 22nd, everyone from the Board of Directors and the Board of Trustees and Awakening Together will be in a weekend retreat. So that means Dove and I will not be here for the gathering. Julie, who just spoke, is going to be our guest minister that day. So everyone, please come and listen to Julie's clarity for the gathering on September 22nd. We have about 3 minutes left, and Melinda, I am turning the mic over to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sort of echoing a little bit about what Julie was just sharing, but one of the most amazing things, and I think it's, and for me it has like this, it has like a real significance. It's like another way of seeing sameness. Oh, no sound. Okay. Okay, good. It's like another way of just of seeing sameness is as I've, you know, come to A Course in Miracles, and then that's kind of led to being exposed to a lot of different other ways of saying the same thing. It's just, hi Rachel and Hazel, it's like just as all paths lead to one place, it's almost like you can look, go through one teaching to see all the other different teachings, you know. It's just a matter of sort of what you were saying at the beginning is like they're all just expressing them, and as they come through whatever channel they're coming through. And I love looking at all the so-called different paths and seeing how there's, you know, and I guess that's what is here, you know, is that they're all united. They're all, you know, speaking the same truth, you know. And so instead of seeing, you know, all those, all hearing all the different words, it's like, you know, all the teachings seem the same. And I don't know if that, anyway, that's what I was feeling to share. So thank you. Okay.
Thank you very, very much, Melinda. And I love what Julie has just written. All threads weaving one big sweater. I do have a final song that I'm going to play for you. I would like to say, if you would like to continue this discussion, please join us in our Yahoo group. You can go to awakening-together.org and then click on Interact, and you'll see on the Interact menu where it says Groups. And then you can click on our Yahoo group, or you can use the link that Melinda has just given you for Awakening Together discussion. And we can continue the discussion there. The song I'm about to play is one of my favorite songs. Of course, now I have many. It's a bluegrass song by a woman named Claire Lynch, and it's called Who Do You Know? It's a funny song because she, of course, is on the side of Elijah. This is about how Elijah won that spiritual football game and slaughtered all of the prophets of Baal and proved that Jehovah was the one true God. But I love the song because it's fun and because it reminds me not to get caught up in that error. So it's a fun way to remind myself to allow everyone to follow their own guidance and to focus on accepting the atonement for myself. So here you are, one of my favorite songs. Since I was about 20, this has been one of my favorite songs. So for many years, Who Do You Know? About the story of Elijah, Claire Lynch.
When Elijah proved the test, when he said, let's build an altar and let the God of the Most High answer by fire. He said, I will sacrifice unto my Lord, and I could have lain down under, and you can do the same to your God's obey. Now the prophets obeyed many, and he let them go first, and he prayed from morning through afternoon. And when nothing happened, Elijah said, it's your God on vacation. You better jump, shout,
but I'll run to pray.
Said, if you don't know
my God,
who do you know? If you don't know Jehovah, then who's gonna save your soul? You heard talk about heaven. Would you like to go?
You know.
Well, Elijah turned God of Abraham, make thyself known today. And then a fire fell from heaven.
One of my very, very favorite songs. I used to get in my car when I was in college, all packed up in the back with the tent and a grill and food, and travel to bluegrass festivals and camp all weekend and listen to Clara Lynch along with some other favorites. Maybe I'll share some of my other favorite gospel songs with you as we go through this. But yeah, spirituality is not a football game. There's no such thing as a winning team. If you're on either team, you're missing the point. And so that's it for me today. I will see you all, hopefully again this evening, some of you, for the teachings of Inner Ramana. I am letting go of the mic. Bye-bye.